We are on to rule 4 now, which is quite short and sweet. It says, goods which cannot be classified in accordance with the above rules shall be classified under the heading appropriate to the goods to which they are most akin. The most important word out of this sentence is akin. This is probably the least helpful out of all of the rules, because if you have had trouble with classifying them according to the first three rules, the word akin does not really help us any further. Therefore, although this rule exists, it is very rarely used. Rule 5 is split into two. Rule 5A states the following: camera cases, musical instrument cases, gun cases, drawing instrument cases, necklace cases and similar containers specially shaped or fitted to contain a specific article or set of articles, suitable for long-term use and presented with the articles for which they are intended, shall be classified with such articles when of a kind normally sold therewith. This rule does not, however, apply to containers which give the whole its essential character. Bit of a mouthful, this one. It covers the following type of scenario. When importing a camera within a camera case, the case is not classified separately, but will be classified according to the heading for the camera it contains. You will note in the last sentence of Rule 5A that it says it does not apply to containers which give the whole its essential character. This could apply, for example, where a distinctive cookie jar is imported containing a few cookies. It could be argued that the cookie jar itself gives the whole its essential character, and therefore would not be classified as the cookies, but may be classified as an article made of china. Again, we can see the words essential character, which we would have to decide based on the features of the particular product. We are nearly at the end of our rules, but not quite. Rule 5B talks about other packing materials and containers. This says, subject to the provisions of Rule 5A, packing materials and packing containers presented with the goods therein shall be classified with the goods if they are of a kind normally used for packing such goods. However, this provision is not binding when such packing materials or packing containers are clearly suitable for repetitive use. To illustrate Rule 5B, take the following example. On your screen we have a bottle of fizzy pop. The container housing the fizzy pop is of a kind normally used for packing this type of product. In addition, packaging is clearly not suitable for repetitive use and therefore will be classified along with the fizzy pop. Thank goodness, we are nearly there. Rule 6 is the last of our general interpretive rules, or GIRs. The rule says the following: for legal purposes, the classification of goods in the subheadings of a heading shall be determined according to the terms of those subheadings, and any related subheading notes and mutatis mutandis to the above rules on the understanding that only subheadings at the same level are comparable. For the purposes of this rule, the relative section and chapter notes also apply unless the context otherwise requires. This rule has 2 points. The first one is that when looking at subheadings, you still use GIR rules 1 to 5. The second part of the rule means you compare like with like. To illustrate this rule, imagine that we have a bicycle. You need to compare subheadings at the same level when deciding on the classification of a product. So, for instance, you may look at heading 8712, which includes bicycles and other cycles. You might also look at heading 9501, which includes wheeled toys designed to be ridden by children. You'll note that we are comparing the same subheading in both chapters, i.e. each of them has 4 digits. Note 6 also told us that we need to look at the terms of chapter notes when comparing our headings. And the chapter notes for chapter 95 says that they exclude bicycles, which are classified in chapter 87. Therefore, 9501 is no longer applicable. That finishes with the 6 GIR rules, so time for some more examples. Our final look in this chapter is at what other aids to classification there are. One aid is the explanatory notes to the harmonized system. These are issued by the WCO. We've already mentioned that the first 6 digits of a tariff code are common to a number of countries across the world, in addition to the EU. The explanatory notes give further details about where goods are classified to the first 6 digits, and can be useful to look at if you are unsure about the classification of your product. One problem with them is that they don't tend to keep pace with changing technology, so can be a bit outdated. For more information about the role of the WCO, see the lecture on International Admin and the WCO. Explanatory notes are also issued to the Combined Nomenclature. Remember, the CN classifies products to 8 digits. Both of these explanatory notes are not legally binding. Other aids to the correct classification of a product are people. Use the manufacturer of the product so you know the technical specifications and get samples and photos from them if you can. You can use the services of a customs consultant, and you could use your freight agent. However, do be aware that the freight agent may not know the exact specifications of the products that they are importing on your behalf. Another aid to classifying a product is to look at previous tribunal and court decisions. These can be obtained from the web at www.baillii.org. If customs disagree with the code you have chosen, they might issue you with an assessment to recover back duty for 3 years. You can appeal this assessment and the tribunal will issue a ruling as to where the product should be classified. Tribunal decisions are freely available and can assist importers in classifying their products. Sometimes a tribunal decision is appealed, so an importer might also need to check decisions of other courts, such as those of the Upper Tribunal, Court of Appeal, etc. European decisions might also be relevant to a particular product. These are available on the web at www.europa.eu. In addition, the official journals detail amendments to the explanatory notes of the combined nomenclature and provide details of classification codes for specific products. We have already mentioned the wide-ranging penalties that customs could invoke if your classification code is incorrect. Therefore, how can you be legally certain that the code you have chosen is going to be accepted by them? Well, one way of doing this is to obtain a binding ruling from them. The type of binding ruling you can get is called a BTI, or Binding Tariff Information, and Article 5 onwards of the Implementing Regulations. BTIs can now be applied for electronically, the so-called eBTI. This replaced the paper application form, the C103. The advantage of a BTI is that it is currently legally binding on all EU member states for 6 years. The Commission intends to reduce this to 3 years under its rewrite of the code. In addition, if it is no longer compatible with the law, for instance, if a regulation is adopted or it is revoked, then you may be able to continue relying on it for a specified period of time. This is provided that you have secured binding contracts to import those goods. If it is revoked, the time is 6 months. If a regulation is adopted, the regulation will lay down the period for which you can continue using it. In order to see whether a BTI has already been obtained for a product, the same as yours, there is an EU database showing all BTIs issued by each member state. This is available at the moment from the European Union's online website at http://europa.eu. However, a BTI can only be relied upon by the holder of it. So you will still need to apply for your own if you want legal certainty that the code you're using is correct. To finish off this lecture, have a go at these 2 multiple choice questions. The correct answer was A, 6 months.